Okay, so on Friday, right, the last year that we had, we were discussing very important yisodos in terms of how, basically the mechanics of mitzvahs lav lehanasinu. Why is it, you know, that mitzvahs lav lehanasinu? In the end of the day, you have all these hanos associated with the kiyum mitzvah. Schar b'alam hazeh, schar b'alam haba, right, yafa shah achas, Mish's, you know, favorite reason, all these factors. So we pointed out, you know, a couple of different mahalachim. So far we did mahalach number one, approach number one, which is the low nechsha of hana approach, which basically says that the way mitzvahs lav lehanasinu works is that basically that the hana of kiyum mitzvah is not considered hana to violate isrei hana. We pointed out two different versions of that. One A was mitzad de gavra, where we pointed out that the we developed that because there's not such a clear connection between the gavra and the chepta when it comes to isrei hana, you need to have a very tight, you know, tzeirah, very tight connection between the gavra and the chepta in order to violate isrei hana. So approach 1A basically says that you only violate isrei hana when the maisa hana is the primary maisa of the person. And therefore, comes along mitzvahs lav lehanasinu to say that, no, the primary maisa the person is doing is not a maisa hana, it's rather lo'ol, gzeras ha-melech. You're doing it, you know, as an eved l'rabo. And right, so therefore, according to approach 1A, right, you don't, the hana doesn't violate isrei hana, right, the hana doesn't violate isrei hana, because the maisa hana is not considered the primary maisa of the person. So that was Rashi, Udime, and number Rishonim would after that. Then we had approach 1B, which is the Ritzvah, both in Sukkah and here, and the Ran in Sukkah, who basically said that really you're breaking the Tzera between the Gavra and the Chafza, guys, try to focus, right? Between the Gavra and the Chafza, really mitzad the Chafza. Right? To say that you only violate Isri Hana, right? You only violate the Isri Hana by getting Hana from a certain Chafza, if the Hana comes directly from the Chafza. When it comes to Hana's Kima Mitzvah, that's Grama, that's indirect. Right? When a Mayan, we'll see today, you know, cools you off, that's a direct benefit from the chetza. But when you use the shofar, which through the usage is going to, it's a kiyum mitzvah, and the kiyum mitzvah is going to get you schar, that is too indirect. That's not enough of a direct hana from the chetza. But that's all, again, approach number one. That it's all about saying that the type of hana that hana's kiyum mitzvah is that it's low nechshav hana. Now we're going to get to approach number two. And approach number two comes out of a very, you know, mechudash shita in the Rishonim. It's a shita's yachid, but a very important shita nonetheless. And it's a very important limitation of the klal mitzvahs lav lehanasinu to certain types of mitzvahs. Yosef, what am I referring to? What's the shita? Exactly, the Baal Amor. And we'll see in the Deya, in the Meiri, who limit mitzvahs lav lehanasinu to what?
To mitzvahs
d'oraisa. So everyone please open up the Baal Amor. Again, and we're going to see in understanding this shita in the Baal Mor and the right, and the Yesh Omrim in the Meiri. What's going to come out of this shita is a totally new perspective on how mitzvahs lav lehanasinu works. So, before you know introducing the Yisod, let's just get the shita down. So, the Baal Mor, this is Zayin Aman Aleph Bidape Arif Zir Maskel Amar Rava. Let's skip a little bit for now. We'll get back to the beginning a little later. See towards the end of it, it says V'hamodir hana mechavera. Yosef, you see it? Go for it.
V'hamodir hana mechavera mutu l'tkolo b'shofar shal mitzvah dafka b'shofar shal rosh hashanah mishimitzvasa min ha-Torah. Al v'chatzot z'taniyos lo.
So what's the important Yisod? When do we say that if you're modir hana right, from a shofar, that you're allowed to use it? Only for a mitzvah
Doraisa,
like shofar and Rosh Hashanah. But if you're using that shofar for a mitzvah d'rabanan, such as the mitzvah antanios, then we don't have the heter of mitzvahs lav lehanasinu. Very, very big chiddush, and we'll spell out the chiddush in just a moment. So again, the first person, first rishon who has this idea is the Baal Amor, who limits the psak or the yisod of mitzvahs lav lehanasinu specifically to mitzvahs d'oraisa. And where else do we find the shita? It's quoted as a yesh omrim in the Meiri. Excellent. Anyone have the Meiri? So the Meiri in Dira Maschil.
So this is shita two.
Exactly. This is all within approach number two, okay. Right? This approach number two that's completely right. And approach number one is low nechsha of hana, either mitzad the gavra because it wasn't the primary maisa, or mitzad the chafza because it wasn't direct. Now this is all going to be approach number two, which is a completely new perspective, and you'll see this is all coming out of this very unique shita in the Rishonim, who limit right, the din of mitzvah l'avihanas to mitzvah d'oraisa, which is going to emerge a completely new perspective on how mitzvah l'avihanas works. So zero maschol dvarim halalu in the Meiri, go for it. Shalom, yish mi shomer. Right, all this yisod of mitzvah l'avihanas, and it was only by a mitzvah min haTorah. Right, so again, for example, if you're to use a mayon for a mitzvah d'oraisa, it would be, you know, tfilas nida. That is d'oraisa. That's mitzvah d'oraisa.
Right,
so what's an example, right? What's an example of using a mayon for a mitzvah d'rabanan?
Okay.
Tfilas balkeri. Since that's only d'rabanan, says the Siyesh Omrim, that is not going to have the heter of mitzvahs l'alehanas. So both the Balamor and the Ziyish Misha Omer, right, the Ziyish Omrim and the Meiri, basically both limit the psak of mitzvahs l'alehanas to mitzvahs d'oraisa and not to mitzvahs d'rabanan. Yeah.
I thought the Mayans already limited from mitzvahs l'alehanas because there's an asaga.
That's by Yumos Achama. There's saying even bimosak shamim, where there's no anasa guf, even so you can only use it for mitzvah d'orais. And the obvious question on this is why in the world would mitzvahs l'alehanas ne'u be limited to d'oraisas? If anything, it's kol shekein the other way. If even a kiyam mitzvah d'oraisa is not considered hana, then kol shekein that a kiyam mitzvah d'rabanan shouldn't be hana. Right, so again, so specifically that d'oraisas you don't get hana from, but d'rabanans you do get hana. It seems like a very, very strange shita. And just to highlight this question, you have this question asked by the Shar Melech. Right, and the Shar Melech, again in Hilchos Shofar, in Hilchos Lulav, right, basically asks this question in a very, very sharp way. First he quotes, he says, by the way, you can see from the Rambam, that the Rambam applies mitzvahs l'alehanas even to a mitzvah d'rabanan, such as lulav on, you know, on Yom Tov Sheni, and for the rest of Sukkot, and you contrast that with the Baal HaMor. And once he quotes the Baal HaMor, he asks a very strong question on the Baal HaMor. Akiva, do you have the Shar Melech, the first makor on the cover sheet? You see the two lines from the end?
The
Kevan Damirin?
Kevan Damirin, the Hanos, HaMitzvah, Lav Hanahi, so Mali Mitzvah d'Rabbanon, Mali Mitzvah d'Oraisa, the other Adam, Mitzvah d'Oraisa, who
have a
Shayat Tzvei, all
right, so again, a very sharp way of asking the question. They're like, if mitzvahs d'oraisa are not hana, then kol shekein mitzvahs d'rabanan shouldn't be hana, right? Because from the perspective of whether a kiyum mitzvah is hana, there's, right, as Shar Melech says, it would be more of a tzad to say that mitzvah d'oraisa is hana. Well, mitzvah d'rabanan, you get less benefit, therefore that's not hana. But to be mechalik in the opposite direction, to say that Davka, mitzvahs d'oraisa are not hana, mitzvahs d'rabanan are hana, seems to not make any sense whatsoever. So what's emerging from this, from these shitos, is that they have a completely new perspective on how mitzvahs l'alehanas works. Again, if you're taking approach number one, right, whether 1A or 1B, that's all about it not being considered hana, then the opposite chilek is what should make sense. This chilek doesn't make any sense. So it must be that the Baal HaMor and the Yesh Omrim in the Meiri have a completely new perspective on how mitzvahs l'alehanas and it works, such that it will be limited to mitzvahs d'oraisa. So broadly speaking, we're going to see there are going to be two different versions of this. So we'll say, you know, just like 1A, 1B, it's going to be 2A, 2B. But broadly speaking, approach number two is that the way mitzvahs l'alehanas and it works, it's like b'toras d'chia. That the mitzvah overrides, is doche, the iser hana. A completely new perspective, right? Not that the Isra Hana is not considered Hana, that the performance of the mitzvah is low next of Hana, rather a new perspective. It's rather that the mitzvah comes along and overrides the Isra Hana, right? So the mitzvah is Doche, the Isra Hana. And therefore, within this perspective, we'll get to the details in a moment, some reason only a mitzvah d'oraisa can override the Isra Hana. So again, once you change your perspective, from it being low nechshav hana, right? From the low nechshav hana perspective, the opposite chiluk makes sense because it makes more sense to say that the d'oraisas are hana and the d'rabanans are not hana. So from that perspective, approach number one, this chiluk doesn't make any sense. But if you flip the whole paradigm and say the mitzvah is lav hanos, and it was a completely new yisod of that the mitzvah needs to be doche the isra hana. So then you can say that again from the perspective of dechia Moshe, what type of mitzvah has more of a koach to be doche and isra? Doraisa. So once you take this completely new perspective, you can start to understand why you would limit it to mitzvahs doraisa. Again, we still need to fill in the details, but that's the broadly speaking, that is the second approach to mitzvah of the hanas. Again, approach number one was lo nechsh of hana, right? Explaining why this, you just didn't violate, by the king of mitzvah, just didn't violate the isra hana. Approach number two is that, no, it's the mitzvah being doche the isra hana. But again, within this approach, we're going to see the two different versions of it. The first version, 1a, is from the tshuva, the shut, shol umeshiv. Okay, the shol umeshiv here has a very, very creative way of understanding how mitzvah's lav hanas works, and how it is that the mitzvah it ends up being doche the isser hana. So, let's see the shol umeshiv inside. In essence, broadly speaking, I can approach, this again, we'll call it 2a of the shol umeshiv, is going to say that the mitzvah de'oraisa is able to be doche the isser hana, because the isser hana is only midrabanan. Very important. So again, approach 2a is saying that the mitzvah de oraisa is able to be doche the isser hana, because the isser hana is knocked down to an isser drabanan, and a mitzvah de oraisa can be doche an isser drabanan.
That's 2a.
That's the, yeah, exactly. That's 2a. That's the shol umeshiv. And we'll fill in details right now. Again, but 2a is that the mitzvah de oraisa is doche the isser hana midrabanan. We need to get to the details. What do you mean? Is it avodah zarah? Is asur hana midoraisa? How is it considered an isur drabanan here? So this is where the shol umeshiv is very creative. You know, pshat comes in. Moshe, would you mind? So the shol umeshiv, Davidowitz, three lines down, he says, dihine be'emes. Right, first he quotes the Baal HaMor and says, like, what's pshat here? And he says, I'll give you pshat.
Dihine be'emes, bir inyan de mitzvahs lav lehanas nisnu, perish rashi de lo nitan v'lo lana.
Right, that's the kash in the sugya. Okay, that's not the purpose of mitzvahs, but mikol makom, you gotta know. What does that accomplish? Oh. Okay, so he starts off with something that seems really random. That what? That if you're
forced to eat something, it's not considered enough. So you're bonus.
Exactly right. So right, he starts off by saying, oh, so if you're force fed, right? You're force fed something, that's not considered hana, and therefore it's you don't make a bracha. Okay, what's the shaychus? Huge chiddush. He's saying that, right, if being force-fed is considered an ones, then another form of ones is that you're being compelled by Hashem to do this mitzvah. So, mishim mechuyav l'kayim mitzvah, mikri ones. Right, interesting. It's from a certain perspective, it's an ones. You're being forced to do this mitzvah, and therefore any hana that you get out of it is lo mechshav hana. He's going to explain the details right now. But in Cain,
lo garmi lo haya shalok derech hanasan.
Right, he's saying it's just like shalok derech hana.
The kaimalon bechol torah. The shalok derech hanasan. Eino aser min haTorah.
Right, he says, oh, there's yisod bechol when it comes to yisuri hana, that if you get a yisuri hana shalok derech, that knocks it down from an Isser D'oraisa to Isser D'rabbana. So you can say here, even though you're getting, in this case, you're getting Hanas Kiyama Mitzvah from, let's say, Avodah Zarah, which is Asur Mi D'oraisa B'hana, but since you're considered an Ones, since you're doing it Derech Kiyama Mitzvah, you're considered an Ones, therefore it's considered Shiloka Derech Hana, and therefore the Isser Hana is only the D'rabbana. He says that. Lefizas, give it.
Lefizas, Shabir Amru the mitzvah of the Hanas says, "Never hainu kevan shelo ol nitan v'lo lahana shuv mikri shelo keder chanasa v'leika is menatera."
Rock and roll. Right. So again, he's saying the pshat in mitzvah of the Hanas is that you're forced to do it. It was given to you as a tzivui. Therefore, you're ones. Therefore, once you're ones, right, it knocks down the iser from a daraisa to a derabanan, and now pshita.
Pshita, the mitzvah
daraisa
dofa iser
derabanan. So, by mitzvah daraisa, the mitzvah daraisa is going to override the iser hana midrabanan. It's kshloga derech. This is pasha. That's a pasha, but this is pasha. Yeah.
Pshita,
the Baal HaMor.
The zed dav kub mitzvah torah for b'tias. Litzkios tainus the eno rach mitzvah derabanan. Pshita mitzvah derabanan eno doche iser derabanan.
He Zabar.
Zabar.
Okay. Very big chiddush of the Shol Meshiv, right? So again, the Shol Meshiv is saying that once mitzvahs lav hanas nenu, that means you're an ones, which means this therefore is considered shelo kederech hana'a, that knocks down the Isra hana'a from Doraisa to Durabanan. Once the Isra hana'a is only Durabanan, then the mitzvah Doraisa can come and override and be docha the Isra Durabanan. But says the Shol Meshiv, it's beautiful. Now we understand the Balamor, that only applies to mitzvah Doraisa. When it comes to mitzvah Durabanan, he's assuming that a mitzvah Durabanan cannot be docha in Isra Durabanan. And that's the way. So again, the Shol Meshiv again is accepting approach number two. It's all about like Betorah's Dechia. It's an overriding. The mitzvah overrides the Isser. The way he understands it is that the mitzvah d'oraisa is overriding the Isser d'rabanan, which is only an Isser d'rabanan, because you're considered ones, which makes it shelo k'derech hana. Yeah, Shalom.
Why is it so partial that the mitzvah d'rabanan can over? And also, He says that the mitzvah d'oraisa overrides
there you go. So we're going to get to approach 2b in the follow-up, because it's just something along the lines of what you're saying. He's taking it as a double pashut, not so pashut. Yeah.
We also said earlier in Shir, like earlier in the summer, that if that the Durabanan can uproot the mitzvah d'oraisa. So
for certain she does. Tosis and Sukkot Daf Gimel. Right. According to most, that doesn't work. But that's the Rabbanan coming along and making a takan. That's different.
Happens to be an Isser.
Exactly. Oh, okay, good. So just want a couple of auras within the Shol Meshiv, just explain, you know, what's going on here. Again, one benefit of the Shol Meshiv, right? Again, first number two is that it's all about Betoras Dechia. So the question is, if it's all about Betoras Dechia, like, how do you connect that to the words of Mitzvahs Lalehanas? So the brilliance of the Shol Meshiv is he's able to actually kind of shnei. Right? He's able to say that the pshat that you can take Mitzvahs Lalehanas literally, because according to him, you need the fact that mitzvahs lav lehanos ninu, that it was given la'ol, to knock down the Isra Hana from a da'araisa to a drabanan. So again, one benefit of the Shol Meshiv's, like, you know, brilliant suggestion here, is that he's able to explain that the mechanism of mitzvah lav lehanos ninu is working b'toras techia, to explain this balamor that is limited to da'araisas, but yet he's able to take the line, the yesod of mitzvahs lav lehanos ninu, literally, saying, yeah, they're not given for Hana, that's what makes it considered to be an onis, and therefore knocks it down, makes the hana considered shelo kederech hana, knocks it down to a duraba. So again, just one hour on the Shol Meshiv is that he's able to, again, you know, keep the pashas of mitzvahs lav lehanas ninu, because he needs that yesod to consider it shelo kederech hana, to knock it down from a daraisa to a duraba. Hour number one. Hour number two is really a huge assumption of the Shol Meshiv, is the Shol Meshiv's equation between a case of being force-fed and having it, right, the fact that he's saying that just like being force-fed is an ones, and that's not considered hana, so too, doing a mitzvah based on tzivui Hashem, that's also ones. That's a huge, huge chiddush, which is not pashut at all, right? So again, just, I would say the weak point, right, the very mechudish assumption of the Shol Meshiv is to assume that just because you're mitzuveh to do a mitzvah, that makes you an ones, and therefore would render any hana you get from there to be shlo kederech, from the perspective of being a kabbalah hana, but ones, that's a huge chiddush. Actually, Kiva had a good aura in Seder. Also, according to that, svar would also seemingly only apply to mitzvos chiyuvis, which you're forced to do. You have a mitzvah kiyumis, you're not forced to do that. But so, you know, let's say, you know, you're going to say mitzvahs lehanas ninu by a mitzvah kiyumis. Well, you know, I never really saw that. That's another important ha'ara by Akiva. What?
Like a derabanan mitzvah kiyumis?
No, let's say even by a daraisa. Even by a daraisa, let's say tzitzis. A daraisa kiyumis. But pashas, the mitzvahs lehanas ninu, it's a daraisa, right? Even according to Malamor. But according to this explanation, it's very hard to consider you to be an ones, to be mekayim a mitzvah kiyumis. It's a very good aura, right? So again, it just highlights this. To consider a mitzvah chiyuvis to be an ones is a stretch, then for sure. A kiyumis, yeah.
Once you put it on, though, you have a chiyuv. Like, once you're wearing the beggar, then you have a
chiyuv. So even if you can don on, you know, on tzitzis, there are a lot of kiyumis, you know. And lulav b'shar yamin. Right, lulav b'shar yamin. Yeah, remember the Shar Malik was saying the Rambam clearly applies mitzvah lav lehanas to lulav, you know, and
that's their abundance, that's not
Sorry. It's funny. The famous Gra that says that, as I was complaining it to. The Bali Tosas and the Gra actually say that matzah, bishar, after night number one is actually a kiyum. I mean, it's a kiyum as Doraisa. That's what it's coming from. So again, if you take that perspective, that would be another example. But again, any classical mitzvah kumis, you know, would be yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you want to like do a mitzvah kumis, you're like, that's
what I'm saying. You're not going to not like do it.
So you're
every time that you do it.
You're saying the religious side of you is like forcing the physical side of you. It's like a mamashah, a deep way of understanding, you know, the inner struggle of man, you know, the Yetzer Tov, the Yetzer. Interesting. I hear. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think there's other proofs that wouldn't make this common to knock it off. But I think I once heard that, you know, when the Gra on the Bali tells a story about matzah on other days, it's a chiyuv to eat matzah on other days, but it's a chiyuv that when you're going to eat has or other stuff on other days, then the chiyuv is to eat matzah.
Okay. Yeah. A lot to be done on those. But yeah. One last ha'ara on the Shaul Meshav's approach is that actually ha'ara that Shaul Meshav brings up himself. Because he has a kasha. Because the whole basis of his pshat mitzvah is l'alei hanes nitnu, is that the fact of Shaloka Derech Hana knocks it down from a Doraisa to a Durabana. But not all Yisuri Hana are subject to the Heter of Shaloka Derech Hana. Right? What is it? Anyone remember? The Shulman should bring this up. What is one type of Yisur Hana, which is not Pashit, whether the Heter of Shaloka Derech Hana applies there? Mi'ilah. Yeah. Right? If you look at the end of the Shulman, that's the three dots. Right? So the Shulman is going to ask himself, wait a second. It's not Pashut. We know it's not Pashut that the Heter of Shaloka Derech Hana applies to Hektish, but yet we know that our Gemara applies Mitzvahs L'alei Hanes Nidu to Shofar Shel Hektish. And according to Shaul Meshav, the whole basis of Mitzvahs L'alei Hanes Nidu is that the Shaloka Derech Hana knocks the Isra Hana from a Doraisa to a Durabanan. But if you have a Isra Hana such as Hektish, which is not knocked down from Doraisa to Durabanan in the case of Shaloka Derech Hana, then the whole Pshat falls apart. So the Shaul Meshav asks on himself, and it's a very fancy, beautiful, you know, he finesses it beautifully, to how to answer this. Is it just because you mentioned, y'all, do you have the second page of the Makoros? See, Ivra? Right, there's a tzad to say that even Shaloka Derech Hana is an Isra D'Oraisa. So therefore, how can Rava apply the Yisod of Mitzvahs L'alei Hanes Nidu to a case of Hektish if the whole basis of the Heter, according to the Shaul Meshav, is this Heter of Shaloka Derech Hana, which might not apply to Me'ila? So Shaul Meshav is like a very happy answer. It is very chab. He's like, maybe that's Pshat and Rabbi Yehuda. Planning on getting this thing. He's saying that. We'll get there also. He's saying maybe that's Pshat and Rabbi Yehuda. When Rabbi Yehuda says lo yatsa, he's about to say, after Mistama. Sorry, one more line. So he's saying maybe one of the issues in the Rishonim that we're going to discuss later is Rabbi Yehuda and Havmina. Does he reject Mrs. Lavi Hanas Nenu? Can someone really reject that Yisod? So Shaul Meshav says no. Maybe he accepts Mitzvahs L'alei Hanes Nidu. Why does he say Lo Yatza by Shofar Shel Hektish? Maybe Gufa because it's Kasha. Maybe Gufa because Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no Heter of Shaloka Derech Hana by Hektish. And therefore, since there's no Heter of Shaloka Derech Hana, you don't knock it down from Doraisa to a Durabanan. And therefore, that's why Lo Yatza, maybe that's why Mitzvahs L'alei Hanes Nidu doesn't apply to Shofar Shel Hektish, even though Rabbi Yehuda really does hold of the Yisod outside of Hektish. Very happy. And he's going to say, but the Maskana Rava. You can say Rav Lashita, so it's beautiful. He's saying when Rava Limaskana applies Mitzvahs L'alei Hanes Nidu even to Shofar Shel Hektish, that's because Rav Lashita so in Psachim holds that there is a Heter of Shaloka Derech Hana even by Hektish. So he's saying the Machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rava is not like everyone else assumes the Machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rava is whether your mitzvahs Lehenas Nenu.
It's not
or mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu. Says no. His pshat is that no, everyone holds a mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu. Only machlokes is whether the heter of shalom kederech hana, which is which is a very important aspect of the heter of mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu, machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rava is whether the heter of shalom kederech hana applies to hektish.
What's hektish?
Not because hektish is daraisa, because there's something about hektish, because it doesn't have a lashon of achila when it comes to. So there's something about hektish. I'm not going to get into the details now. There's something about hektish, which says that even if you get the hana shaloka derech, it might still be aser midaraisa. So that's the Sholem Yeshiv, really beautifully, brilliantly finesses that whole issue about the application of mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu to hektish. Fine. So this Adkan is approach 2A. Again, that the way that the dechia is working is that the mitzvah d'oraisa overrides the iser d'rabanan. Therefore, it's only limited to mitzvahs d'oraisa. And the way the iser anad d'oraisa gets knocked down to the iser d'rabanan, according to Shalom Yeshiv, is through this the application of shalok derech hana to any kiyum mitzvah, which is a chiddush. So my follow-up suggested a slightly different alternative. I'm calling it approach 2B. Similar that the pshat in Balamor and this Yesh Omer must be that the mitzvah lavei hanas ninu was working the Torah's tachiyah, because otherwise you can't understand why it would be limited to Doraisa. My follow-up thought that the pashas of the sugya is that this tachiyah works even if the Isra Hana is midoraisa. Because there's no reference in any of the Rishonim that somehow the Isra Durabanan, that the Isra Hana at hand is Durabanan. It sounds like pashas, it remains an Isra Doraisa, but yet the dechiyah works. So my follow-up, as Shalom was referencing before, my follow-up was saying, and we have a model for a mitzvah d'oraisa being docha and iser, and iser d'oraisa. What's that model called? Asin ochalos ase. So my follow-up thought that the pshat in mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu for the Baal Amor and the Yeshomrim is that it's working along the lines of ase dochalos ase. Therefore, even though the iser anah is d'oraisa, even so, the mitzvah dafka, the mitzvah d'oraisa can override the iser anah midoraisa. Obviously, that's only going to apply to a mitzvah doraisa, and that's why the Baal Amor and the Yesh Omrim don't apply mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu to a mitzvah d'rabanan, because obviously a mitzvah d'rabanan can be docha and iser doraisa. But a mitzvah doraisa can be docha and iser doraisa. Again, just to be clear, my follow-up added that although, meaning generally, that it can be working exactly for the mechanics of asa docha lo sase, because there are a lot of tanaim about asa docha lo sase, like it, a lot of factors which Rishonim here don't apply. So he thought that perhaps, and again, not exactly this Nakuda, he thought that something there's something unique about the Isra Hanami Da'oraisa, which makes it more susceptible to a Dechia by a Mitzvah Da'oraisa. And therefore, even without the Tanayim of Asa Da'chalos Ase, you're going to have the Dechia. So again, there's something about that Isra Hana Vidoraisa being more flexible and being more nitan for a dechia, and therefore even if it's not be'inna, or even if you don't have some of the other tanoim which generally legislate when you apply the classical mechanism of Asa Dechalosa, say here you're going to have the Mitzvah Doraisa being docha the Isra Hana Hanami Doraisa, even at those tanoim, because the Isra Doraisa of Hana is more susceptible to a dechia than other Isurim Doraisa. So again, in short, two different versions of approach number two within the Baal Amor and the Yesh Omer and the Meiri. Obviously, they're holding some type of dechia. That's why it's limited to a mitzvah d'oraisa. Only a mitzvah d'oraisa can trigger the dechia. Two different versions. 2A is the Shalom Eishes version, that it's davka, the mitzvah d'oraisa overriding in Isser d'rabanan, because the Shalok d'Aruch Hanan knocks down to Isser d'rabanan. My follow-up version, that I know it's even the mitzvah d'oraisa can override the Isser Hana mid'oraisa along the lines of an ase d'chalos ase model. Fine. This idea that the pshat in the Baal Amor and the Yesh Omer in the Meiri is that's working the Torah's dechia, in contrast to everyone else who's saying that it's working like as a low nechshav hana, if you look carefully back in the Lashon of the Meiri, it seems to be very meduyuk. If everyone can go back to the Meiri, if you look carefully when the Meiri is quoting the Yesh Omer, is explaining why we don't apply mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu to a mitzvah d'rabanan, is a very important lashon. Anyone have the Meiri open? You have it? You see when he says, Aval mitzvah midivrei sofrim? Or within the first line of the Yesh Misha Omer, he's like, V'chamishi shal bracha, z'kiyot z'be'ilu, Aval mitzvah midivrei sofrim. important lashon. Hadir maschol dvarim halalu. Do you see it? Yeah. That's of a mitzvah. Midivrei sofrim, key words. Very right. Eino mafkaas es another. What does mafkia sound like? You're overriding, right? Lahafkia is to override something. So again, very much in line with what we're saying. Remember, we were saying the pshat in the Yesh Omrim and his Baal Amor is that the mitzvah de Oraisa needs to override b'toras dechia the iser. And it's exactly what he's saying, that the mitzvah midivrei sofrim cannot override the mitzvah midivrei sofrim ina mafkaas as a nether, cannot override the iser nether, right? That loshon is not shy to the first approach. The first approach is not saying that the mitzvah is mafkia the iser. The first approach is all saying that there's no iser hanah here. Because either mitzvah the gavra, it's not the primary ma'isa, or mitzvah the chetzah, it's not a direct, benefit from the chetzah, which is asur b'hanah. Nothing about a mitzvah overriding anything. It's just a lo nechshav b'hanah. But again, this Yesh Omrim and the Baal Amor, it's about the mitzvah coming along and overriding the iser. So I think it's very meduyak when this Yesh Omrim says in passing that the mitzvah d'rabbanan cannot override. Mashma, that what's happening by the Doraisa is the Doraisa is overriding. I think it's very, very meduyak. And then continuing, the other diuk, that when the Meiri continues and rejects this, he basically goes back to the Lashon of the first approach. Ari, skip a line, says, V'ein Devarim Nirim Kin. This is just like one line, is it? Right after the Enam of God says a nether, says Okumash Baram Malab, Ravim Hum Ramudar Hanami Mayan, Hutzok Litzbol Lakuriyav, Eno Tol Alf Yubosak Shaman. Right, that was just an example. Now he rejects the Yeshomer. Pay careful attention to how, or to the Miri's Lashon, when he rejects the Yeshomer. Right, so how does the Meiri reject the Yesh Omrim? He says, no! Hold the inkan and also guf! Meaning, approach number one. The whole basis of mitzvahs lavei hanasinu is that we don't consider it to be hanah. So the Meiri is saying, once you take the perspective that mitzvahs lavei hanasinu is about it not being hanah, then of course that applies, if it applies to a doraisa, kol shekin that a derabanan is, a nachshav hanah. So it's very beautiful, this whole masa matan between the Yesh Omrim and the Meiri who rejects it is all based on what is the Yisodim Mitzvah Hanasinu. The Yesh Omrim says it's working b'toras dechia, and therefore uses a lashon of hafkah, and therefore says, oh, dafka d'oraisa, it could be mafkia the iser. But comes on the Meiri and says, no, you got it all wrong. It's not based on b'toras dechia. It's not approach number two, as we would say. It's approach number one. It's about that it's not nechshav hanah. Once it's eino nechshav hanah, if a d'oraisa is eino nechshav hanah, kol shekin is d'rabbanan. And therefore, he rejects this chok. So again, these two approaches, I think, is very meduyak in the lashonos of the Meiri here.
That works just as well within 2a as it does within 2b, though. It's not specific to...
No, because the whole pshat, even within the Sholem Eshev, even within 2a, the idea is that there is an Isra Hana here. It's just that the mitzvah d'oraisa overrides the Isra Hana
d'rabbanan. I'm saying is that they're both 2a and 2b are about
The lashon of Einam Afkaz as a neder works for both versions of two. Exactly. I'm between 2 and 1. 100%. Okay. Good. The last kasha that the Achronim bring up on this Baal Amor, that there's a certain Gemara, right, which seems to clearly say that mitzvahs lavei hanasinu works even by mitzvah d'rabbanan. You remember? What is that Gemara? What's the Gemara which seems to apply mitzvah lavei hanasinu even to a mitzvah d'rabbanan? Gemara in Erevin. Excellent. Right, the case is where you basically place an Erev Tchumim on a kever. A kever is asur b'hana. The Gemara says, no problem. Mitzvah lavei hanasinu, if you're using the Erev Tchumim to go do a mitzvah, that's going to allow you to use the kever. The problem is, what type of mitzvah? What type of mitzvah are we talking about in the case there? D'rabbanan, you're using the Erev Tchumim to go to a base mishnah, right? To only mitzvah d'rabbanan. So the Turi Evan, I'm not going to do it inside because we're running a little late. The Turi Evan here, on the spine of Chav Chesem Halef, rejects the Baal Amor, on the basis of this Gemara. He says, how can you, the Baal Amor, claim that mitzvahs lav dehanas nenu is limited to mitzvahs d'oraisa? You have a mefurish Gemara in Erevin Lamed Aleph, which applies the klal of mitzvahs lav dehanas nenu even to a mitzvah d'rabbanan, such as, you know, setting up an Erev Tchumim to allow you to take part in a mitzvah d'rabbanan, a base mishtep, etc. That's the kasha that Turi Evan asks. So he's going to quickly present two answers. One answer is of the Shar Melech, which seems to be a little problematic. What is the Shar Melech's answer, / chiluk? Exactly, right? So Shar Melech is Mechalik and says, the reason why the case of Erevin is different is because there you're not using the Chepza of Yisuri Hana directly for the Hana. Because right, again, Uriel, in the case of Erevin, what's the Chepza, which is Asur Bana? The Kever. You're not using the Kever. You're not like dancing on it, Chas V'Shalom. You're using it in a very indirect way by placing the Erev Tchumim there to allow you to then get the Hana of going to the base Mishnah. Right, so there, says the Shar Melech, it's a different case. Since the Hana's mitzvah isn't directly coming about from the direct usage of the Chepza Shali Suri Hana, it's only indirect. Therefore, that case is different. Therefore, Shar Melech says, therefore, even though generally mitzvah lali hanasinu is limited to mitzvah d'oraisa, that's only when the mitzvah d'oraisa is directly using the chatzah, like in the case of shofar. But in this case, where it's too indirect, it's different. So I was talking out with Shalom, Seder, right? Is a chiluk, but the chiluk doesn't really answer the question. Because, you know, just because the cases are different, it doesn't mean, but at the end of the day, like, what are the mechanics of mitzvah lali hanasinu? Let's say take, you know, the dechiyah approach, right? You know, where we've been explaining it, that somehow, right, the mitzvah overrides, you know, the isser hana. So, at the end of the day, if a mitzvah d'rabbanan cannot override an isser hana, whether you follow his pshat or Sholem Aish's pshat, so then, who cares that it's indirect? At the end of the day, the mitzvah d'rabbanan can't override the isser hana, no matter what pshat you take. So again, while the Shar Melech draws an important chilek between Erevin and all the other cases, it's not so clear why that chilek answers the question. It's not clear. Exactly. I like that. Why does that difference make a difference? Did you just come up with that on the spot?
All right, Mendelssohn, he always said, you need to figure out why the difference makes a difference.
Okay, that's a good line. I'm going to use that. Right, Mendelssohn, why does the difference make a difference? Exactly. And in this case, not clear why the difference makes a difference. Yeah.
Why do we say it doesn't feel like the Rikva?
Because then...
It seems similar.
Well, yeah, exactly. This chiluk sounds very much like the Ritzvah's pshat in Mitzvah's Lav Lehanas Nenu. But the Shar Melech is not saying this pshat in Mitzvah's Lav Lehanas Nenu. He's saying this pshat why, even though generally Mitzvah's Lav Lehanas Nenu is limited to D'oraisas, this factor explains why it extends to D'rabbanans. Right, so he's not saying...
He's talking about this case, though.
What?
In this case, haven't...
You know, but it sounds like... That's not pshat in Mitzvah's Lav Lehanas generally. Generally, Mitzvah's Lav Lehanas Nenu works in whatever way it works. And whatever way it works is limited to D'orais, by Mitzvah's D'oraisas. The reason why it works by mitzvahs d'rabbanan in this case is because of this factor. And you're just saying maybe he's just saying it's a totally new pshat mitzvah lav lehanas nenu, that it's basically grama ba'alma?
Yeah.
It could be, but the problem is that the Gemara uses the same phrase of mitzvahs lav lehanas nenu, as it does always. So say the two dinim in mitzvahs lav lehanas nenu is hard, especially because like even the ritz of pshat mitzvah lav lehanas nenu is like it's hard to read. Mitzvah lav lehanas nenu, as we said on Friday. So it's hard to say, oh, there are two dinim. One din by Mitzvah d'oraisa, another din by Mitzvah d'rabbanan. But I guess you could, but... Yeah.
Could you be saying the fact that it's kind of a grama over here lowers the level of the iser to the point where even a d'rabbanan could be dofa?
Maybe. Could be. Yeah. It could be. That's a possibility. That's what he's saying. Perhaps he's saying that although he gets to enter into like the Sholem Aish's worldview, you know, let's say he assumes like the Sholem Aish, that generally a mitzvah d'rabbanan cannot override an isser d'rabbanan, but here because it's grama, it knocks it down even further, and then maybe. The Sholem Aish himself gives an alternative, also very happy. Now, the Sholem Aish, this is the second time I have the Sholem Aish on the Makaros. Sholem Aish, again, we'll do this outside because I want to make sure we get the other parts. Sholem Aish, anyone remember outside has the Sholem Aish answer this question? Oh, and the shloka derech hana by a kever is what?
It's not the group of the shirish of the mitzvah.
A little sharper. Shloka derech by kever is completely
mutter.
That's the key. And Shol Meir says, generally, when it comes to Isurim Da'oraisa, right, Shaloka Derech Hana knocks down from Da'oraisa to a Durabaram. But by a Kever, for that reason, not going to the Sugya there, he says, but the Isra, not by a Kever, Shaloka Derech Hana is completely Mutter. Says, that's Pshat. So
sounds
there.
Like, sounds a lot like Strobel, sorry.
Yeah, in a way, but yes, but he's saying specifically it didn't in this Isra and of a Kever.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Not,
I mean,
not
yeah,
Sharmel.
Yeah, according to that, Sharmel. Yeah, exactly. Not by all. But again, so Shaul Meis is saying that, that generally, if you apply the heter of Shaloka Derech Hana to Kever, it knocks it down to completely being mutter, and therefore, obviously, even a mitzvah derabanan can override, you know, becomes a heter gamor, and therefore, that's the basis of
that.
Yeah. You're saying it becomes totally mutter, not. Say it again. Yeah, no, because meaning it's only Shaloka Derech Hana if it's a mitzvah. Remember, because according to Shul Nishiv, what knocks it down, what makes it Shaloka Derech Hana is because you're doing it out from the perspective of the mitzvah, which makes it an ones. For a second, when I was saying it myself, I was also confused. But yeah, so therefore, specifically because it's a mitzvah, the Rabbanan that makes it Shaloka Derech Hana, Shaloka Derech Hana by Kever is completely mutter, and that's why it's fine. So Akan, we basically developed, you know, at length, different mahalchim in terms of what is the yisod of mitzvahs lavei hanasinu. Again, approach number one is lo nechshav hana. We're going to have mitzvah degavra, mitzvah dechetza. And then approach number two is that it's the betorah's dechia, with the mitzvah overriding the isur. Again, in two versions of that. I'd like to now at least start discussing one of the big issues, you know, discussed by the Rishonim, and that is, what about hanas haguf? Up until now, we've been discussing why is the hanas kiyam a mitzvah? Why is that not a problem? But we haven't discussed yet the issue that comes up already in the Gemara. That what about hanas aguf? What about a case where through your kiyam a mitzvah, you also, besides the fact that you're benefiting by being kind of the mitzvah, you also got hanas aguf? Uriah, what's an example that comes up in the Gemara where the kiyam a mitzvah also provides hanas to your guf?
The mayan
be most. Hachama. So the question, I'd like to just now analyze it according to different approaches. The question is, does the yisod of mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu, is that limited to being matir, the hanas kiyam a mitzvah? Or does it also extend to being matir, the hanas haguf? So before we get to the actual rishonim, let's just analyze this question from the perspective of all the approaches, and then we'll plug it into all the rishonim. So let's go through each approach and see on a pashas level whether the svara, whether the mechanics of mitzvahs lavei hanasinu according to each approach, what would you think they would say in the case of hanas haguf? So let's go through it. And we'll see. In some cases, the Bisharim are going to fit in beautifully. Other cases, not so much. Therefore, we're going to have to tweak a little bit. But let's go through it. Within approach 1a, right? Again, to chazer, approach 1a said that the pshat in mitzvahs lavei hanasinu is that you only violate isuri hana when the Maisa Hana is your primary Maisa. Comes along Mitzvah Lavei Hanas Ninu to dictate that Al Pi Din, the primary Maisa when it comes to Kiyam Mitzvah, is Gzeres HaMelech, Ever L'Rabo. And therefore any Hana is rendered secondary. So according to that approach, Misvara, anybody? What about Hana Saguf? What would you say?
Secondary.
Sounds like it's secondary. If the yisod of mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu is that the primary maisa is the maisa of kiyam a mitzvah of gzeres hamelech, that would seemingly render that just like hanas kiyam a mitzvah is secondary, presumably you would say hanas haguf is also secondary because the primary maisa that you're doing is the gzeres hamelech of kiyam a mitzvah. Sounds like any hanah that you get would be considered secondary. So that's the pashtus. We'll have to challenge that when we get to filling in the shittos. That's pashas of approach 1a. Pashas of approach 1b. Remember, approach 1b says that the heter of mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu is that the hanas kiyam a mitzvah is an indirect benefit from the chetza, right? You're using the shofar, which is a kiyam mitzvah, which then gets you schar ba'olam hazeh ba'olam haba. Yosef, what is that approach going to say about hanas aguf? Right, hanas aguf generally comes
directly.
So approach 1b is going to say, when it comes to hanas aguf is generally a direct benefit from the chavtza. We'll see the case of Mayan. So in the case of hanas aguf, which is a direct benefit, sounds like that would be usher. Right? It sounds like they would not be included in Mitzvah Lavi Hanas. Because if you think the whole Svara is that Mitzvah Lavi Hanas and it was only Matir Hanas Kiyama Mitzvah, because Hanas Kiyama Mitzvah is indirect, that simile is not going to cover the Hanas Aguf. So again, as you see, depending on which approach you take, it seems like it's going to point in different directions. But now let's get to approach number two. Right? Approach number two says it works B'toras Dechia. That the Mitzvah, that's according to the Bahamut, the Mitzvah D'Oraisa overrides the Isra'ana. So Ari, should that Dechia be limited to the Hana of the Kiyama Mitzvah? Presumably not. Just like the Mitzvah D'Oraisa can override the Hana's Kiyama Mitzvah, which is Shaloka Derech, because you're considered Ones. So do, I'm going this Mayan, right? Because Tziboy Hashem, that's an Ones. Therefore, any Hana should be considered Shaloka Derech according to Shalom Eishev's version. And so therefore, according to approach number two, that it's working B'toras Dechia, the Pashto is just like the Mitzvah D'Oraisa is Dochev, the Isra Hana from the Hana's Kiyama Mitzvah, should presumably also be Docha the Hana's Aguf. B'Pashto's. Yeah.
Why can't we say the Hanas Aguf is knocked down to an Isra Derabon and stays at an Isra Derabon level?
Well, let's take the Shalom Eishev. Shalom Eishev says anytime you're getting Hana because you're forced into this Maisa. So just like because it's Tziboy Hashem, I'm forced to do this Mitzvah. So I'm forced to get the Hanas Kiyama Mitzvah, but I'm also forced to get the Hanas Aguf. So both of them should be Shaloka Derech. That's B'Pashto's. Okay. So that's general.
So it would be the same reason for 2A and 2B, why it's the Y at the end of the question.
Yeah, again, slight. One more time? Yeah, exactly. 2A and 2B. But now let's, say Svaras all you want. At the end of the day, let's look at the Rishonim. Do the Rishonim align? And that's why when we were going through the Rishonim, earlier, who holds of what, we were like, something's got a little repetitive. He holds like Rashi, and he holds like Rashi. But it's important to pin down, because now you want to see what Elizabeth Rishonim are going to say about the other aspects of the Sugya, and then tie it all together. So let's go through it. So now let's go through the evidence in the Sugya. First, right, the first approach in terms of the evidence is that Mitzvos Lav Leihanas Ninu does not include Hanas Aguf. So right now we're going to go through the evidence in the Sugya that Hanas Aguf is Aser, that Hanas Aguf is not covered by the Heter of Mitzvos Lav Leihanas Ninu. So let's start with, can't get earlier than, what's the earliest source, which Papasha sounds like Hanas Aguf is Aser?
The Gemara.
Right? The Papasha is the Gemara. So let's see the Gemara in Chav Ches. So I have Amar Rava. Let's get Moshe. Would you mind? So you have Amar, a bunch of Amar Ravas, but the Amar Rava of Hamodir Hanami Chavero.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry. A couple lines later. Right, so if you take a neder against your friend, he could sprinkle mechatas on you, be mosek shaman, where you're not going to benefit from it, but of Allah, right? But not during your mosek shaman, because pashas why? Because the sprinkling is going to give you hanas aguf. Right, so that's the first time this comes up. The pashas of the Gemara is that, look, hanas, right, hanas kiyama mitzvah is fine, be mosak shamim, but be mosak chama, you're also going to get hanas aguf. That's not covered by the heter of mitzvos lavei hanas. Now another memra, similar. Exactly. If you take a neder from a mayan, you can be tovel bimos hagishamim when the only hana is hanas kiyama mitzvah, but not bimos hachama, because there you're going to have hanas aguf. So first off, pashas the gemara sounds like hanas aguf is not going to be subject to the heter of mitzvahs lavei hanas. Obviously, the rishonim who disagree with this are going to have to explain why that case is different, but the pashas of the Gemara is that mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu does not include the heter of hanas aguf. And along these lines, right, someone pointed out Rashi before. Rashi explains this as the pashas pshat in the Gemara, right? Anyone have the shuli of the Gemara open? You see Rashi during last school, chaveru mazem alav bimozek shomim. Yeah, so you're saying the reason why he can sprinkle on you be most hagisham is because there the only anaz anaz kiyama mitzvah and anaz kiyama mitzvah is subject to mitzvahs lavei hanas ninu, but is the key of a low.
Of a low be most hama, right? The ikanas.
Oh, This explains the Gemara Kapashtus, but Bimos Lachama, where there's going to be Hanos Aguf, the implication is, you read the Chirashis together, right, when it comes to Hanos Aguf, the heter of Mitzvah Lavi Hanos Ninu does not apply. So, Rashi is just reading the Pashas of Gemara, but if you put the two Rashis together, it seems a little problematic. Because remember,
the old approach 1A.
Exactly. Rashi, remember, there were five Rashis, all approach 1A. Right? Rashi was all about saying that the primary Maisa that you're involved with is the Gzeras HaMelech, and therefore the Hanah's Kima Mitzvah is secondary. So as we said before, so why shouldn't that, just like the Hanah's Kima Mitzvah is secondary, why don't you say that the Hanah's Haguf is also secondary? So Rashi does not seem to work out so well. So I suggest an alternative. Even within approach 1A, there's a possibility of saying that Mitzvah's Lavei Hanah's Ninu will not cover Hanah's Haguf. Why? Very important, Yisod. Sometimes in Halacha, you find a difference between a physical pe'ula, where you can have one physical pe'ula, which in Halacha is defined as two separate Maisim. Meaning, a case where you happen to combine two Maisim together, within one physical pe'ula, but Halacha says that because those two Maisim could be separated in different cases, even when they coincide, they halachically consider them to be two distinct Maisim. Excellent. Comes up by Kimle B'Dravamine.
What's a pe'ula?
Pe'ula I'm defining as a physical action. So you can have one pe'ula, one physical action, which is considered two separate halachic ma'asim. And this comes up exactly, Yosef just said, in the sugya of Kimle B'Dravamine. We're not getting into the details now. Well, exactly, right? In a lot of different cases where, yeah, you can have one pe'ula, but we're magdir it as two separate ma'asim. Oh. So for Rashi, you can say same thing here. When you're Tovel B'Mayim, example. So, yes, it's one physical pe'ula, you're physically going into the Mayan, but halakhically, we're magdir as two separate ma'asim. One ma'asa is the ritual, you know, ritual tevila, the tevila l'shem mitzvah, that you're going to the Mayan for ritual religious purposes. We call that the tevila shel mitzvah. That's one ma'asa. And the other ma'asa is the physical bath that you're taking. So there's, and why do I separate them? Because there are certain cases where one comes without the other, i.e., tzvila, bimos ekashamim, the only thing you're doing it is the religious tzvila, the tzvila shem mitzvah, because there you're not benefiting from the bath part. So the fact that these two things could be separated in certain cases shows that even bimos hachama, where you're doing both together, it's both a tzvila shel mitzvah, and you can call it a tzvila shel rishus, however you want to say it, or a bath shel rishus, we still consider them two separate halachic ma'asim. What do I benefit from that? So you can say, once there are two separate ma'asim, then you can say, the idea that, right, when we say, your primary ma'asa is, you know, it's a ma'asa l'shem gzeres ha'melech, which rendered, right, the hanas, kima mitzvah, secondary, maybe that you can only make, there's an ikar and tafel when it comes to the same ma'asa. When it comes to the same ma'isa of the tzvila shel mitzvah, so there we done up that the primary purpose of that tzvila shel mitzvah is l'gzeres ha'melech, and therefore the what's tafel is the hanas kiyama mitzvah, which is also associated with that tzvila, with that ma'isa of the tzvila shel mitzvah. But the hanas kiyam, the hanas haguf, that's not associated with the kiyama mitzvah, with the ma'isa mitzvah. That's associated with the ma'isa of taking a bath. And therefore, this idea of ikar tafel only applies that within one ma'isa, we have to don up each ma'isa. There's an ikar reason, and then there's a tafel. So the hanas kiyama mitzvah becomes tafel to the ma'isa mitzvah l'shem gzeres ha'melech. But the hanas aguf is associated with a separate ma'isa. A separate ma'isa of just, I'm taking a bath. And that's an independent ma'isa, and therefore, the primary that is considered a ma'isa hana. So at the same time, you have the ma'isa mitzvah, so the hanas kiyama mitzvah is tafel to the ma'isa mitzvah, but the hanas aguf, that's part of the bath. And the primary purpose of that ma'isa, taking a bath, is the hanas aguf. So therefore, that is going to violate the isra hana. So therefore, even Rashi, who adopts approach 1A, right, if you take this yisod that you can, you know, view the Maisa Tzvila B'Yemos Hachama is two separate Maisim, you can explain why Rashi, even though Rashi adopts 1a, he'll still think that Mitzvah Lav Hanasanu, while it renders the Hanas Kiyama Mitzvah Tafel, it's not going to render the Hanasa Guf Tafel. And the last 2 minutes we have, the last Rishon, who explains that Hanasa Guf is not covered by the Heter, Mitzvah Lav Hanasanu, is the Ritzvah in Rosh Hashanah. And this works out beautifully, the Shita
Sa. He holds 1B.
Exactly. The Ritzvah is the 1B person, right? He says the whole pshat in Mitzvah Hanasanu is that you're not getting that Hanas, Kiyama Mitzvah, it's not a direct benefit from the Chefza. And actually the Raya that the Ritzvah brings to that pshat is Hanas Aguf. So Hanas Aguf, that is a direct benefit. He says that's pshat in the Gemara. That's why Tvila B'Yemos Hacham is Asur, because that is a direct benefit from the Chavtza, and therefore that is subject to the Isser Hana. So again, so far we've seen, in terms of the Makoros, which suggests Hanas Haguf is Asur, and is not covered by the Klal of Mitzvah Lavei Hanas, and we had the Pasha to the Gemara, we had Rashi, we need some explanation why, even though he explains, he adopts 1A, even so, because it's two separate Maisim, even he's going to hold that it's Usser. And the Ritzvah is very easy, because the Ritzvah is completely Lishitasa. Tomorrow we're going to pick up with the other Mefarshim who accept this approach, and we'll see Mefarshim who accept the other approach, and we'll tie it all together. We'll stop here.